So I'm from Scripps Research Institute, and I'm going to talk about our chemical and functional genomic approaches towards regeneration. Is this one? All right. Our lab has been interested in searching for small molecules as well as genes that can modulate stem cell fate and also the critical developmental pathways. And the systems we used in the lab, including embryonic stem cells, mouse or human, and we are interested in self-renewal, neurogenesis, and cardiomyocyte genesis, and also beta cell differentiation. And besides the embryonic stem cells, we're also interested in adult stem cells. And currently, we have neural stem cells, which we're trying to differentiate them into neurons with high efficiency, and mesenchymal stem cells into osteoblast or adipocytes. And another more challenging process we are working on is trying to reverse the lineage-committed cells back into stem cell-like multipotent cells. And although this is not naturally happened in mammals, but however, emerging evidence has demonstrated that it can be done in culture. And actually, we have identified one small molecule which is reversing, which can reverse the lineage-committed fibroblast to de-differentiate and re-differentiate into both osteocyte and adipocyte. And it has been known beta cells and cardiomyocyte is very hard to expand. So we are also working on to identify small molecules that can promote proliferation of these cell types. And in addition, we are also interested in the developmental pathways, which is Wnt, Hedgehog, and Notch. And epigenetic modification is known to be very important in a stem cell fate determination. So finally, we also work on to identify molecules that can modify DNA or histone structure. And after a system is selected and the appropriate readout are determined, and we start to do high-throughput screening using the arrayed molecular libraries in the lab. Currently, we have a chemical library which contains over 1 million compounds and cDNAs that target 32,000 foreign cDNA, as well as sRNAs, which targeting 16,000 genes and with four sequences against each gene. And most recently, we also added to our connection microRNA libraries. And the screening result is read out by either by molecular markers immunostaining or by reporter activity assays with luciferase assay. And after the primary screening to identify the hits, we will do in-depth functional assays with more criteria other than those used in the screening. And then we have to do structure activity relationship to improve the compound activity, followed by affinity chromatography to identify the target of the small compound. And after the target was identified, we will do we'll do expression analysis and pathway mapping to map those genes into different pathways. And because of the time limit and also the interest of California Institute of Regenerative Medicine, I'm only going to talk about the human ESL projects in the lab. Conventionally, human ESLs are cultured in gelatin-coated plates on feeders with serum or serum replacer. However, there are lots of undefined factors in those conditions, such as the growth factors secreted by the feeder cells or those provided by the serum. So we are in effort to establish a chemically defined media condition for long-term culture of human ES cells. And in this experiment, we try two different cell lines, which is H1 and HSF6. We tried with the basal media, which is DF12, with supplement of N2 or N2B27. Both conditions can sustain long-term self-renewal of human ES cells. However, the N2 condition, the human ES cells grow substantially slower than those growth on feeder. But with addition of B27, the cells gain back the proliferation rate as that on the fetal cell, which you can split the cells every 5 to 6 days. To confirm these cells are pluripotent human ear cells, we tried RT-PCR to detect the human ear cell specific transcription factors, which is NAMAC, OCT4, and SOX2. Also, we tried immunocytochemistry to detect the human ear cell specific antigen TRA1, 81, and 60. They also express OCT4 here with immunostaining and the surface marker SSEA4. And to confirm that these conditions can expand human ear cells, they maintain normal chromosome structure. We did karyotyping. Panel A shows that the karyotyping is the normal. And panel B shows that these cells maintain the full developmental potential. This is a histologic analysis of three different layers of development. So after we have established this cultural condition, we furthered our effort into direct these cells into lineage-specific differentiation. And I'm going to talk about three ongoing different projects in the lab, which is human ear cell induced into ectoderm and eventually into neuronal cells. And the second is human ear cells transcending into mesendoderm and definitive endoderm, and finally into pancreatic precursor lineage. And the last one is human ear cells into mesendoderm, mesoderm, and cardiac muscle cells. And the upper panel is a conventional way to induce human cells into neuron cells in the suspension culture, which is EB. And the early neuronal precursor cells express PAX6. And the late ones, PAX6 will drop, and instead SOX1 will increase. And finally, can be induced into 2J1 positive neurons. However, in this EB format, it's not very consistent. So we were trying to develop the monolayer format to direct human cells into neurons. And this is the first one is the human cells remove our FGF, but without any induction. This is a noggin induction for about 8 days. You can see this typical rosette-like structure. And then it's PAX6 positive. And currently, we have two compounds which can induce PAX6 positive. And now we're in the process to confirm those small compound effect. And this is the second one, which is to induce into definitive endoderm, and finally, pancreatic precursor cells. Sorry. And with transient treatment of activin A, you will induce mesoendoderm. And with continued treatment of activin A for additional 3 to 4 days, you will get definitive endoderm. And during this process, the early marker of mesoendoderm mercury will drop. And at the same time, the definitive endoderm marker SOX17 will increase. And the late marker of definitive endoderm FOX A2 will increase at this stage. And with additional treatment of some growth factors for 2 to 4 days, you will get PDX1 positive pancreatic precursor cells. Currently, we have a few compounds which can induce human cells into SOX17 positive cells, and we are in the process of confirming those hits. Finally, under the same antibiotic 7 conditions, if you treat the cells with combination of activin A and BMP, it can induce the cardiac muscle lineage. This is cells without induction and with induction, and these are the RT-PCR confirmation of the muscle, of the cardiac muscle specific markers and immunostaining of those ones. Now I'm going to take a very short time to go through one of the successful stories to identify a small molecule which can maintain mouse ES cell pluripotency independent of both LIF and BMP. Here is a basic procedure of the primary screening, and these cells treated with pluripotent alkaline phosphate positive and OCT4 positive. And this shown that in vivo and in vitro, this small molecule can maintain mouse ear cells over long-term culture. And this one basically shown that propotent doesn't work through either one of the pathways identified in mouse ear cells, which is LIF, BMP, or WNT. So it's independent of all of those pathways. Here is an affinity chromatography to identify the small molecule target, which is confirmed, which is identified by mass spec and then confirmed by Western blot, which is RASGAP and ERK. So it inhibits both. And with the combination of inhibition of ERK and shRNA treatment of RASGAP, they can maintain propotency. So we conclude that this molecule works by dual function to inhibit RAS, to activate RAS GDP, and at the same time inhibit ERK. But however, this doesn't, it goes through PI3 kinase pathway, but did not activate AKT1. Instead, it activates S6 kinase. So I would like to thank our collaborators at UCSD and some of our lab members which did the work I mentioned today. Su-Yuan Yao is the one who established the chemically defined condition for human ear cells, and Julie Crocker is working on the neuronal differentiation, and Neil and Yang are working on the pancreatic differentiation, and Caroline is working on the cardiomyocyte differentiation. Thank you.
We have a few minutes for some questions.
Great talk. Wondering if your PDX positive cells also FOXA2 positive. They were SOC17 and PDX1 didn't overlap, which probably explained by the fact that SOC17 also expressed in a primitive endoderm versus definitive.
Yes.
So what are the PDX1 or FOXA2 positive?
What is the...
The PDX1 cells that you showed, are they FOXA2 positive as well?
I would think so.
Okay.
Are there any other questions? Okay, why don't we move on?